Let's bring on our next guest. It is Toronto FC columnist for The Athletic, Joshua Cloak, joining us here on Sportsnet tonight. Joshua, what's going on?
Well, yeah, we're just trying to get through all the injuries. You ask Greg Vanney about, you know, the injuries, and you almost have to get this grocery list of players, and you have to make sure you're not forgetting anyone, because when you go down the list, it's long and it's pretty dire as well.
You're not on the injury report, are you? Did you pick up some knocks covering this team over the last couple of months?
No, you know what? I avoided any stomach bugs in Mexico. I was pretty good. me and Molinaro, we did just fine. But I guess that makes me one of the rare few ones at TFC right now.
Well, if Vanny's looking for players, why doesn't he tap his boys? They seem to be doing pretty good with the academy.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of next man standing at this point. And in all honesty, you could kind of go down the line. They've had to actually dig pretty deep into, you know, their secondary squad, TFC2. And that's not a bad thing. They've given some chances to some young players, some young Canadian players that wouldn't, you know, likely have otherwise gotten any time on the pitch this season. That's nice to see. You ideally want to see some young players, some young Canadian players get minutes, maybe in games where they're up and they can feel a bit comfortable. But what's happening is you're throwing these young players with very limited MLS experience into must-win games, and you're often throwing them into positions where they're not completely comfortable on the pitch. You do at some point, as dire as things are right now, you do have to feel for Vanney. I had a few chats with him this week, and he was just kind of going through all the variables that this club has undergone this season, whether it's playing on different types of pitches from, you know, the frozen pitch in Colorado to start the season, the different kinds of turf that they've had to play on and train on, and just the thousands and thousands of miles that they've had to travel. That's not necessarily an excuse for how they're playing and how, you know, they just can't finish their chances right now. But it definitely is a reason for their inability to kind of get their season on track at this point, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. And aside from, you know, some of the other MLS teams that were taking part in CONCACAF Champions League, Toronto FC making it all the way to the end there, they had the most travel out of anybody. And, you look at where they stand right now, sitting ninth in the Eastern Conference, Joshua, with 11 games played so far. They got a couple of games in hand, and as far as the teams in front of them right now, there are so many games left to play for Toronto FC. So, you know, they're not out of it by any means. But considering all the injuries that they have, and, you know, Jozy Altidore is not going to be back for a bit, and you know, Agar Akeche is going to be out for a couple of weeks here, and some of the injuries they've picked up along the way, I mean, what kind of what kind of results is this team going to have to get over the next little while just to be in the mix and give themselves an opportunity?
Yeah, you know, you talk a lot with a lot of other TFC writers about what the state of this team is, and I was one that was kind of pushing the panic button early on, if only because you look at a lot of the games, a lot of points that they were dropping early in the season, these were against low-level opponents. These were against teams outside of the playoff picture. And now, this next five-game set of theirs, they play three teams that are in the playoffs in the Eastern Conference: Columbus, New York City, and New York Red Bulls. These are teams that they're chasing, and these are teams that have done very well this season. So you could argue that, yeah, TFC had a tough go early on, considering they didn't get the results they wanted, but their schedule was also quite easy early on in terms of the quality of the opponents they had. So, you know, that makes the points they've dropped all the more important. The message from the team this week, the message from Vanney and the team, is that they just want to get back to playing simple soccer, and they want to be very, very tough to play against, and they want to defend better. They want to win games 1-0, because what's happened to TFC is when they go down early on, teams will set up a very heavy block in the back, and they won't allow TFC any space to kind of get creative in the middle, and they'll just essentially park the bus. If TFC can get a lead early on and then press a bit forward, they can open the game up a bit, but teams are figuring out, look, let's attack this team right away. They're depleted with injuries. If we can get at them right away, get one goal. And that's what we saw with Dallas last weekend. You know, we can kind of sit back and we can defend really, really heavily, and we can get out with an ugly result. I think TFC just want to figure out how can they get one in very quickly and then kind of open up the game and play that creative soccer that we saw all throughout last season, right?
Josh, the last time you and I had a chance to speak, there was much talk around the status of Sebastian Giovinco going forward. The talk about Mexico, him possibly leaving the team, angling for a new contract with TFC. Have you heard anything more about that?
I mean, he's publicly stated that he wants to begin contract negotiations. He has one more year left on his deal. He's taken efforts this season to hire a new marketing firm to promote, you know, the Sebastian Giovinco brand. He's launched a new line of clothing, Seba Things. So it's clear he wants to kind of make his mark in the city and establish himself as a really, I guess we can just call him a really needed player for TFC. I asked Tim Bezpachenko, Toronto FC's GM, if there were any truth to the rumors that, you know, teams in Mexico have been calling. He denied those flat out, which you kind of expect him to. It's interesting with Giovinco right now because he's their only real forward option right now. Their other forwards are not playing well, but Giovinco hasn't been finishing as well either. I mean, he missed a penalty against Dallas. You literally can't have your best attacking player missing penalties at home. So, you know, as much as he wants that other contract and he wants to probably retire in Toronto, he loves it here. We know that. We need to start seeing the Sebastian Giovinco that can turn a game on its head, right? We need to see the Giovinco of 2015 and 16 that took over the league and was the league's most offensively creative and talented player. And we're not seeing that right now. So until that happens, I don't really think we're going to see or hear anymore on the contract front because they really need to lean on him right now. And he's not giving you that offensive production that you really need from him right now.
Yeah, it is really odd looking at his numbers early on this season with just a couple of goals and obviously was a big part of the CONCACAF Champions League run with some big goals in that competition, but has not carried over to MLS so far. Let's talk about the World Cup, Josh, coming up in just a few weeks' time. Everybody's favorite tournaments as far as soccer goes. I mean, maybe you're a big Champions League guy, but I love the World Cup. There's just nothing like it, seeing the atmosphere, seeing the fans all over the city wearing their country colors and all that kind of stuff. It is always great to watch. And looking at the favorites for this tournament, as per usual, it's Germany, it's Brazil, it's France, it's Spain. It's all the teams that you would expect to be in the mix once again. But how do you break down this year's tournament? Just, you know, is it going to be one where it's going to be top heavy, or are there some teams there that are being a little overlooked in that second tier maybe that you think could make some noise and potentially surprise here?
Yeah, you always have those teams in the second tier that you just you kind of say, yeah, maybe, and those are the Belgiums in the Englands. But to me, there's just so much talent on paper with those teams that you mentioned, Germany, France, Brazil, and Spain. And you even, like, you have to throw Argentina in the mix too, because as long as Messi doesn't have that World Cup, you never want to write him off. It's interesting. I've been asking a lot of TFC players for a story I'm working on who they both think will win the World Cup and who they want to win the World Cup. And so many of them are rooting for Messi because they know what he does on the pitch is just so difficult to do. It's, you know, and they watch that and they can appreciate how hard it is to do. But in terms of how the tournament will shake out, a lot of eyes on Brazil because they'll have Neymar back, looks to be in full health. He wasn't in full health down the stretch during the last World Cup. So he's a guy and a team to keep an eye on. Germany being what they are, they put team strength above all. And so you can never write them off. France, I have questions about because, again, they might have the best team on paper, but it's never the best team that wins the World Cup. It's the team that kind of comes together the quickest and figures out how to act as a team, you know, in that tournament. And Spain as well, a lot of talent there. So if it's me, I'd lean heavily on Germany and Brazil. Questions about France, but again, it's the World Cup. We watch it because we love the surprises that come with it, right? So there's a lot of other teams that could sneak up. I think, like I said, we all kind of watch the tournament and to see what team it is that kind of steps up. It was Costa Rica for a bit in the last tournament. And, you know, we love getting behind that kind of underdog story, whoever that might be. But if you're a betting person, it's really hard to go against Germany and Brazil right now, just because of the talent they have and their ability. They just they just steamrolled the competition when it came to qualifying. So they have the track record. I'd be hard pressed to find a team that could beat them right now.
Josh, I'm not sure because I think there was a little bit of breakup earlier when you were saying that England's a second tier team.
I don't know who I'm offending over there, but yeah.
I was born in Manchester, by the way, just so you know.
Okay, well again, it's. I think we might be breaking up again.
I'm just joshing, Josh. My real question is this. Out of all the great players that are going to be in this World Cup, we can list them. There's probably a handful of guys that are going to be in the running for the Golden Boot. Who are you looking at as a breakout star coming into 2018?
Yeah, that's a really good question. You want to see players, again, we watch this tournament because, we want to see players that we've never seen before. I love watching what Gabriel has done with Manchester City. He's going to be there for Brazil. I mean, it's a player that will come as no surprise coming from me, but Joshua Kimmich, right back for Germany, he's a natural replacement for Philipp Lahm, who is always one of the smartest players to ever play the game. It's pretty remarkable that you lose one of the best right backs to ever play the game. You watch Joshua Kimmich, who has established himself as one of the best outside backs in the world. He plays such a silky, smooth game. And if you like that kind of style of play, you're going to want to keep an eye on him. But when it comes to fluid attacking movement, you're going to want to watch Gabriel for Brazil. But again, we watch this tournament because this tournament especially, we know it might be Messi's last.
Yeah.
I love to see breakout players, but everybody's going to have their eyes on him this tournament. Like, it's again, people always talk about him, but there's good reason this time because it might be his last kick at the can internationally. So, yeah, no, there's no more pressure on any other player than Messi right now, right?
Yeah, it would be great. Hey, we're seeing right now Alex Ovechkin get his crack at the Stanley Cup final, so maybe we can get Messi with a crack here at the World Cup finally, and he can finally pick that trophy up. We appreciate the time, as always. Josh, thanks for doing this.
Take care, Josh.
Anytime, boys.